Coming up on American Parlor Songbook, join us for a best of the season. We'll look back at some of our favorite sketches, stories, songs, and guests from the whole year.
Oh, a clip show.
No, I prefer best of.
Are we going to pretend to be in the living room reminiscing and then all of a sudden everything goes all squiggly?
Is there any other way?
How do we squiggle on the radio, though?
Well, let's try it.
All right. Remember that time we were doing a clip show and we had to try out the squiggle effect?
I remember it like it was just 10 seconds ago.
Oh, a clip show.
No, I prefer best of.
Are we going to pretend to be in the living room reminiscing and then all of a sudden everything goes all squiggly?
Is there any other way?
Say, what do you know? It works.
Whoa, deja vu.
Wait a second. What if this is a flashback too?
Oh, it is. I remember it like it was just yesterday.
Oh, come on, not again.
From the Tudor House Theater in Lake Arrowhead, California, this is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston.
Thank you, folks. Now, on the other microphone, she reminds me every day that she could have done better. Julie Van Dusen. Memory. Clumps of old neurons all huddled together and ready to fire off fuzzy recollections inside of that gray mush ball in your monkey head. Some of them we like to forget. Some of them we want desperately to relive over and over, you know. That's the thing, though. We can see them. We can hear them. Heck, sometimes we could even smell them. Hopefully those ones didn't take place at a rest stop in New Jersey. They're only reflections, though, right? Just echoes across the lake of our lives. That ripple there, that's your mother's voice. And that one there was your scraped bicycle knee. And there's your wedding, you know, those circles, ripples out further from the stone. A little faint now, drifting further and further away. Time goes as it does. The past seems never what it was. And rolling on it goes, around inside the old, an inkling in the eye of things in days gone by. Bye bye. Nostalgia. Nostalgia used to be a sickness. Back in the day, they described it as a disease. They really did, it was a disease. Break it down from the Greek and you get nostos algos, and that's basically homecoming pain. And it does ache a little, right? Sweet melancholy. When you long for the good old days, you know, picture perfect illusions of a Norman Rockwell world where a smiling dog pants and a little boy paints a picket fence. Or in my version, where the little boy pants and the dog is a boot with a face painted on it. I digress. Now, some folks, they get stuck in the past, right? You know, they relive that moment over and over and over again, hitting that home run or watching that girl walk away. They forget to make new ones, right? You can get stuck in the past like that. You have to get out there and get back into it. You know, generate some new good old days. I recommend booze. Time goes as it does. The past seems never what it was. And rolling on it goes, around inside the old, an inkling in the eye of things in days gone by. Bye bye. Mementos on the shelf, right? You know, souvenirs in the closets, postcards and ticket stubs in a shoebox. Those aren't the things, though. They're just the things that remind you of the things. You know, fire off those old clumps of neurons. Project that image in your mind's eye. And those projections can deceive us, though. You know, a little dust on the lens. Like that old college experiment where the professor hires someone to run in and steal something and takes off, and then the class has to describe the event, and then, well, we reveal how, well, they all get it wrong. No one remembers correctly, right? That same thing happens in the big picture. You know, we remember things differently. Tonight, for example, when I look back on this, none of you will be wearing pants. But really, it starts to beg some questions, you know. Is the past even really there? Once it's gone, does it linger on in the quantum something or other? And is the future, is it already here too? Will it ever be here? And even now, we don't really experience reality in real time, right? There's a little bit of a delay. That light going in, those vibrations tickling your eardrums, well, they get scrambled up first, and then they get interpreted by your brain. You see, we don't really hear or feel or see. No, our brain interprets. So what are we remembering? There's a pretty good chance nothing's real in the first place. And, well, for all we know, we're just bits in a simulation. In which case, you might as well remember whatever you want.
I dreamed I was the sun, and morning always come, 'cause steady is a day, and everything would stay the same. Oh, nothing would change, 'cause everyone would stay, and memories would never fade. Oh, hey, yeah, everyone would stay, and memories would never fade.
There's the overall collective memory, too. We write it down, and we call it history. Who ruled who, where, and when, you know, which guy invented the whatever, who fought who won. And the winner, now, the winner gets to write it however they want. Makes me wonder why there aren't more humiliating historical facts. Like, chapter 2, the Athenians were little babies who ate giant lollies and preferred to smell their own feet. Might as well rub it in, that's what I'd do, I don't know. Even history is specious at best, right? But really, memories, the real ones, they're all yours. They're yours alone. No one else can have them, and, well, no one can take them away. Not without a scalpel, anyway. Well, those ones are yours, and you don't need an unreliable radio host to tell you they never happened. You lived them. You loved them. Hold on to them as long as you can. So we're going to pine nostalgic this week and see if we can't remember something entertaining. Stick around. It's going to be completely forgettable.
Time goes as it does, the past seems never what it was, and rolling on it goes, around inside the old, an inkling in the eye of things and days gone by, bye bye, bye bye.
The High Desert Star has delivered community news to the High Desert since 1957. Now, here to deliver it with bad melodies and hackneyed punchlines, J.P. Houston sings the news.
Well, marijuana became legal this week in Oregon. Another state falls to the great green conspiracy. And well, marijuana activists are celebrating all across the country. Now, I think their victory may have taken a little longer than it could have. Well, I think I know why.
As you cast your ballot, consider this as valid. The illegal leaf in the legal brief is as harmless as your salad. For a century we've struggled, so our legal efforts doubled. When the tables turn, then we will return every ounce of mercy smuggled. So prepare to have opinions swayed by our sharp and measured treaties, citing legal fact and precedent. Let's order Chinese.
So wait, what were we talking about again? From the poison laws
of the 1910s till the CSA was avowed and our Eighth Amendment rights ignored. Did I say that out loud? We got our high ideals at easy, even keels. We move a little slow, but at a steady row, we got our high ideals. You know the Bill of Rights is solid, and it is easy to recall it. The amendments true and the articles too. All the T's and I's are dotted. Since our forefathers bespoke it, we expected to invoke it. We in earnest tried, but we got so fried that we rolled it up and smoked it. We got our high ideals and easy, even keels. We move a little slow, but at a steady roll. We got our high ideals.
What if we're just like a molecule?
High ideals.
What were we talking about again? No.
High ideals. Oh yeah, we got our high ideals.
It passed? Oh, it passed, right. Our next guest is a talented comedian from Los Angeles, California. Let's hear it for him, Zach Sherwin.
All right, this is a song about a bee that lives near the porch where I like to sit outside and write rap songs. I call him the aggressive bee. He flies at me aggressively. He seems to like to mess with me. With fear I see the aggressive bee. Check it out now. Yes, siree. Don't think less of me, but I'm afraid of the aggressive bee, especially when he attacks and I'm just minding my own beeswax. I try to freeze and breathe deeply. Try to wait out the bee till he leaves me, but he won't let me be. So I get the let me be heebie-jeebies. Got my defenses up, my teeth clenched, my whole body tenses up. Should I sing Roxanne or something? Cause that little jerk is all about Sting. Does he buzz? Sure he does. He's furious. I'm serious. Not a joke for your funny bone. He's the Attila, the Hun of the honeycomb. There is a pair of wings on the fellow and a ring of black and a ring of yellow, and he gets me wound tight like a string on a cello. He makes me want to freaking yell and bellow because he is the what? Aggressive bee. Oh, he flies at me, huh? Aggressively, yo. I guess he'll be the death of me. Ah, with fear I pee in my Levi's. The aggressive bee flies right from his having nose dives at me. No jive, he isn't terrified of me, and it's kind of a surprise to me because he's like 1,000th the size of me. Teeny, have a pollen teeny, chill yourself. If you sting me, you'll kill yourself. That ain't worth it, kiddo. You don't want to make your queen a yellow and black widow. That's not what I want for you. See, the truth is, bee, I'm fond of you. I feel a bit of a bond with you. Look, I even wrote this song for you. But even if I made the bee appear sweeter, I'm not trying to be his cheerleader. His hostility is excessive. The bee's aggressive. The bee's aggressive. The bee, he's aggressive. That bee's aggressive. The bee, he's aggressive. That bee's aggressive. The bee, he's aggressive. He's B-E-E-A-G-G-R-E-S-S-I-V-E. He's the one aggressive bee. Oh, he flies at me, huh? Aggressively, yo. He says B-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z. He's the aggressive bee. Check it out, y'all. There's a pair of wings on the fellow and a ring of black and a ring of yellow, and he gets me on tight like a string on a cello. Makes me want to freaking yell and bellow. Oh, put on the red light, bee. You don't have to put on the red light. Oh, he's the aggressive bee.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
From Sheboygan to Cheyenne, Uncle Sam tips his hat at the proud citizens exercising their right to America's greatest invention, Greek democracy. It grows deep in the hearts of patriots from the plumber to the baker to the farmer and even in the burgeoning future draftee number 44732.
Who, me?
That's right, Billy. Even you have the power of democracy. Once you turn 18, of course.
Nifty.
Nifty, and important, too.
But how does democracy work?
Take my hand, Billy. I'll show you.
But my mom said the strangers are bad.
And I say your mother's a communist. Now follow me.
Say, who's that guy with the scissors?
Why, that's Senator What's-His-Name. He's redistricting.
So my vote counts better?
Don't be stupid, Billy. Do you see how he's dividing up the map all squiggly there?
Like Dad trying to walk up the stairs when he gets home?
Exactly. Like a drunken father. We'll call him Jerry. Jerry meanders around the map like that, so only the people who vote for him count.
Ain't that cheating?
No, Billy. It's democracy in action.
Are you sure you know what you're talking about, mister?
Of course, Billy. Now shut up and let's go through the looking glass.
The what now?
Look down there, Billy.
Whoa, that's a lot of simoleons.
Yes, bags and bags of Uncle Sam's freshly minted greenbacks.
Is that Uncle Sam?
No, that's a lobbyist.
Like the guy who takes my movie ticket?
No, this one works for the military-industrial complex.
The one homeless Pete's always shouting about?
One and the same. He's going to take that bag of money there, and he's going to buy votes on the House floor.
Well, I thought I got to vote.
Sure, Billy, you still get your imaginary toilet paper vote.
Does it count?
Not a chance in hell. Now follow me.
Aww.
Here, Billy, put this on.
What is it?
It's a tinfoil hat.
To keep out the government rays?
No, to make you look crazy so no one believes you.
All right.
Look, Billy, it's the media. They're lulling you into a false sense of choice.
I choose that one.
No, Billy. Look behind them, pulling the strings. It's a shadowy cabal of billionaire weirdos.
I don't think my tinfoil hat is working.
Oh, it's working perfectly. You look like a lunatic.
It's your story, bub.
No, Billy. It's the story of democracy.
Oh, lump it. I'm moving to North Korea.
Not so fast, Billy. Your number's up. It's off to war.
Aw, come on.
Sorry, Billy. Can't grease the wheels without that sweet, sweet chocolate rain.
All right, fine. Hut, two, three, four. Hut, two. Ow!
Attaboy, Billy. Go get him. And keep America the world's greatest democracy.
I think it's about time for a song from Nashville singer-songwriter Darren Bradbury.
This next tune is about a guy who works at Staples. This is the story of Bob. I never knew his last name. I want to say he was born somewhere outside of Topeka, and when he was a kid, for some reason or another, his parents moved away. I heard him say his mother was a school teacher, but for the life of me, I can't remember which grade. And that his father managed a motel or an Applebee's out on the interstate. I wouldn't say that Bob was short, wouldn't say that Bob was tall, wouldn't call Bob quiet, he wasn't very loud at all. Now he was just Bob, backwards and forwards. Was just Bob. Y'all are a smart audience. Around the office, we all thought Bob was a pretty swell dude. He was our go-to for a consistent and accurate weather update. Anytime a storm was coming through, someone would say we ought to go ask Bob. Bob surely knows what's up. He He had a one-bedroom apartment with carpet in a pretty decent part of town. Said he had a couple upstairs neighbors who partied too much, but all in all, at the end of the day, they were a pretty decent crowd. Nothing like you folks. Just kidding. I wouldn't say the Bob was short. I wouldn't say the Bob was tall. I wouldn't call Bob quiet. He wasn't very loud at all. He was just Bob. Backwards and forwards. He was just Bob.
Well, I'm glad we could all take the time to gather here today.
Debbie, thanks for bringing the donuts. Well, it's a shame you know about the carbon monoxide leak, but I bet you good old Bob, the dude didn't even notice. So this jelly donut's for you, Bob. Yo, B.O.B. And every time I'm checking the weather, it'll feel like you're kind of awkwardly standing over me. Seriously, Bob, we all miss you here at Staples Corporate. I wouldn't say that Bob was short. Wouldn't say that Bob was tall. I wouldn't call Bob quiet. He wasn't very loud at all. Now he was just Bob. Backwards and forwards. He was just Bob. Thanks.
Babies dove headfirst off of cliffs, left and right, and they spread their bell-bottom wings to fly, and they crashed into the cold, hard reality ground. The brown acid freakout fizzled, and when left with nothing but everyday life, well, they set out to self-help themselves, or dance in scary cults, karate chi their blues away, and simply positive think things into existence. Then they'd spend the last half of the 70s getting teaching degrees, and the better part of the 80s, giving us kids bad ideas. Church came but once or twice a year for me, usually in the form of an Italian cousin's Catholic wedding. You know, kneel, stand up, sit down, kneel, stand up, drink this, eat that, sit down, kneel, touch your nose. With escaped Catholic parents, well, the closest we got to piety was hot apple a la mode. The old man, he had a bad turn as an altar boy, and it turned him devout skeptic. I think the only thing he might have believed in was wearing sandals over socks. Mom had a softer landing. And she went full beatnik, you know, like agnostic. She did hold on to some of the non-religious Catholic traditions, like, you know, chasing us around the house with a wooden spoon and swearing in Italian. One who tries to simply be cannot simply be. And other such one-liners that work backwards and frontwards. Usually told by a vaguely foreign bearded guy. He was probably really from Sheboygan. Well, now, pants are clearly not spiritual. It was obviously muumuus, robes, and loincloths that did it for these guys. And for some reason, a major tenet of the belief was always free love, strictly with him. And it wasn't free. They had to sell flowers by the side of the highway. Me and my tomboy sister Melissa sat at the kitchen Formica table there, just staring at pencils with all our might, our brows furrowed, concentrating, trying to move those pencils. Concentrate, nothing. Every Sunday, John Davidson would flash an upside-down smile and poison us with ridiculous ideas on That's Incredible. It pervaded the pop culture, magic powers, the Force carry. Even rock bands like Kiss had supernatural powers. Like Peter Criss could fly his drum set over the stage, and Paul Stanley could shoot fire, and Gene Simmons could say really stupid things all the time. So there we sat, trying to move pencils with our mind, like that charlatan we saw on That's Incredible, bursting our brow veins blue, brain shooting out of our ears, and Dad strolls in, closes his eyes, and he moves the pencil by quietly blowing a stream of air out his nose. Someone said that nature abhors a vacuum. I think it was Aristotle or a disgruntled Hoover salesman. I'm not sure which one it was. Anyway, whoever said it, nature doesn't want it, and it fills it up fast when there's a void there. Something jumps right in. So if you put a bowl-cutted kid in that spacey, post-hippie world, a pair of parents in Catholics Anonymous, well, that spirit hole is going to get plugged by whatever comes along first. And what better way into a little boy's heart than a little girl? The alto flute played over arpeggioed nylon string guitars, soft focus sheets, you know, breezing in the sunlight, billowing in slow motion with an iron flat-haired natural blonde mom carrying a wicker basket, and then she swaddles a precious baby in a soft summer-scented linen, and so soft and so affordable, the soap, not the baby, so soft and so adorable, the baby, not the soap. And then we come back from the commercial break to Mike Douglas or whatever was on, and I shuffled in 12 minutes late, as usual, to class, 5 hours of sleep from an all-night UHF kung fu movie binge, and all the other second graders, you know, looking chipper and well-groomed, and me with a half-tied shoelace and bed head out the back, even past the rows of snickering squares, you know, tucked in and proper, and then wait, there, at the back of the class, a sight for sore, faithless eyes. A dress made out of curtains, a matty red uncombed hair, freckles in all the wrong places, and kid love at first sight. I asked her name. She looks up and she says, Tide. I say, Tide, like the detergent? She says, yes, exactly like the detergent. Of all the little girls to be new in my class, I got the actual Tide baby. This is true. Her hippie parents were so psyched about the cash windfall that they received from selling their kid into commercial fame that they up and renamed her Tide, like the soap. No. But that wasn't that unusual sounding at the time. There was a lot of hippie babies around. We had a Sunshine in the class, a boy named Star with two eyes, and a Dove, and yes, a Tide. It could have been worse for her. It could have been a Borax commercial. My dad's nervous leg would shake under the table as the conversation heated up at Sunday dinner. The table would buzz, and it would get positively my dinner with Andre as the beatnik folks would debate back and forth. And well, Dad would inevitably go to the nearby bookshelf to wield his favorite weapon, the argument killer, Funkin' Wagnall's encyclopedia. Back then, all the facts in the world were one paragraph each, and Willie Loman sold them to you in a cheap brown suit. And I'd roll around under the table, you know, listening to the pop philosophy resonate the wood, while my bad college sister would be slipping me sips of wine down there. And then back in class the next morning with what I guess would have been a hangover, I'm not sure, just slurring my cursive right off the page and putting my head inside the desk to take a nap because I stacked a bunch of Kleenex down there for these occasions, you know. I felt a tap on my back bonk. I hit my head, and I come up into the light, and it's cartoon birds, and then stars. Stars all around beautiful Tide. She says, do you want to walk me home at lunch? We have chocolate cake, and the house is really close. And we, wait, it's all right. He had me a chocolate cake. I swear, the alto flute from the commercial when she was a baby, it played now with every breeze-blown wisp of red hair and her freckles moving like constellations around the button moon nose. And we walked down the fell lot of maple leaf streets, past the modest Victorians, up to a misplaced crumbler, on up those rickety steps, and into her house. It smelled funny, but well, not bad funny. Funny like my teenage brother's party's funny. Sitar music on one speaker out of that tape player stolen from the library, and then out comes Tide's mom, and then her other mom, and her dad's, and a guy named Larry. And then we eat around the circle. Cake, right? He said cake, for sure. Circle, whatever you want to do, I'm fine. And then everybody sing. And,
And we all sang a song of love and yogurt, I think. It was in some kind of gibberish. I don't know. I just kind of jumped in there. Hold hands. Just let go, you know. There's something about it that, well, it hit that sweet spot, that void. Something called pyramid power. It spread around the world. And local news stories hyped it up all serious. And the Toronto Maple Leafs hockey team, well, they took to skating around the ice with one held above their heads before the game, you know, for good mojo. And deep inside of anyone who believed hard enough was the power of the universe to be exploited for your heart's desire. All you needed was a pyramid and a lack of critical thinking. Now, back over Sunday normal dinner, where we eat the cake after, the old man was on some kind of a run about Picasso or Trudeau or something, and I was down below on a foot-smelling high. And I heard above, I heard someone say something about God. So I popped my head up. No, God isn't in heaven. He's in Switzerland. Well, I know because I ate cake with his children. No, it's true. I went home to Tide's house, and I met her mom and her dad's and her Larry's, and they told me all about it. You see, the sun is the father, and the moon is the mother, and they all live together inside Dada in Switzerland. And when I grow up, I'm going to live with Tide and our love children and our lunch cake and our sing-alongs, and there's nothing you can do about it. And so I left for school the next day with very strict instructions never to go over for lunch again. And what better way to push a love-struck kid into the arms of a wanting hippie house and a work of red-headed freckle art than to tell him no? Every day at lunch, we'd sneak over and we'd sing songs, the sweet goodness of the void abhorred, and my waistband stretching. I began to know the gibberish chants by rote, and I'd sing along. I memorized the multidimensional commandments. I held hands and I sang along with mother, mother, father, father, Larry and Larry every day, and every day with my sweet, sweet Tide. And we promised that we'd do it forever. Forever until one day. When the noon bell rang, I asked her what we'd sing, and she told me the bad news. The family were leaving for Switzerland to be with the father, but we said forever, and I sang the songs too. But just as all blind faith does, it leapt off the cliff with the bell-bottom spellbound and crashed on the rocks and went out with the tide. So I never really believed in anything wholeheartedly again. Except for cake. I still believe in cake.
Ring the bell, follow blind and wide-eyed. Faith on faith, drifting out with the tide. Playing catch with the sun and shooting jacks with the stars back when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air.
As a mind reader and a hypnotist, he has put thousands of people to sleep. Skeptics the world over have seen his act and still don't get it. Prepare to be mentally challenged. Please welcome the great mountebank.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The name is Mountebank. Those of you who have never seen the act of my father, Francis Mountebank Sr., are in for some new material tonight. I would like to dedicate this evening's performance to my father, who immortalized the Mountebank name with such amusements as his blindfolded driving experiment, blindfolded prison escape number 1 and 2, and his subsequent blindfolded execution. I can tell you with exactitude that his spirit is with us tonight. What you're about to see this evening are actual events of psychic phenomena, or what is now more commonly known as ESP. To that end, I need to enlist the aid of an audience member. You, sir. You and I have never met before, is that correct?
I can't stand up, mate, sorry.
Certainly not. You can't stand up, someone's overserved, the gentleman. That's just through my mental observation. But you, sir, will be able to let us know a few things as the evening goes on. Are there any other gentlemen in the audience, or is this a temperance meeting? All right. You, sir. You, sir. You don't need to come up on stage at this moment, but you, sir, will bear witness for the rest of the audience, just as the millions of people listening to us on radio worldwide. You shall bear witness to them as what is being seen in this room, for this is the first time since the great Dunninger that magic has been attempted on radio. And so now, you, sir, whom I have spoken to earlier, please put your wine down. In my pocket, I have an envelope with a one-word answer, yes or no. Can you tell me what is in this envelope?
No.
Will you please say your answer loudly enough so that the millions listening in their living rooms may hear you?
No.
Behold! You, sir, who is bearing witness to us all, what is your name?
Paul.
Paul. A round of applause for Paul. Paul, for those who are listening at home and cannot see what is written on this postcard, will you please read aloud what is written on the postcard?
No.
I will please need you to read what is written on that postcard for the benefit of those who cannot see. You are bearing witness to millions of home listeners as they sit about their hearth. Please, once again, loudly and clearly, tell me what is written on that card.
No.
Ah, the word written upon the card is no. A round of applause for Paul. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like the help of a lady in the audience. You, madam, if you will, take this billet and this ballpoint pen, and if you will, write above it, in large block letters, your name. Please do not allow me to see it. She is now, for the benefit of those at home, writing her name in large block letters at the top of a white billet. Have you completed that task?
No.
Sorry, sir, but you are reading the wrong thought. And now, if you will, draw a line beneath your name. Have you completed that task?
Yes.
And now, if you will, write your 7-digit phone number beneath your name.
No.
Very well, then. If you're of no help, please return my pen. All right. Now, if you will, madam, please do rise. And you, sir, please rise. Sipping from the coffee, if that's what that is. If you will. I would like you all to close your eyes on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Close, close, and close. Imagine as though a deck of cards has been spread about a green felt tabletop. Upon that tabletop, you will select one card, the first card that comes to your mind from that deck of cards. Isolate it from all others and stare at it. And I want you to project that card, project that thought to me. Think of them. Yes, spirits. Yes, thank you, spirits. I am receiving their cards. And now you will open up your eyes on the count of 1, 2, 3. Wide awake. And now, You, madam, who would not give me her phone number. You are thinking of a red card, is that correct?
No.
You will be seated. Also, your house is on fire. And you, the younger woman, the card which you are thinking of is a red card, is that correct?
Yes.
It is a heart, in fact, is that not correct?
No.
It is not a heart?
No.
You may be seated. You may not be aware of this yet, but you are pregnant. And you, sir, the gentleman dressed like a child, the card which you are thinking of is a black card, is that correct?
Yes.
It is a spade, is that correct?
Yes.
It is the ace of spades?
No.
You may be seated. Paul, will you please join us on stage? Please, everyone, give a round of applause to Paul. And now, Paul, you and I will both take part in an experiment in psychometry. In other words, you shall receive the vibrations of objects, borrowed objects, that I have borrowed in advance from the audience. Firstly, I shall hold up an object. This object is often used to unlock a common house door. Can you tell me what this object is?
A key.
Behold! Nextly, I will hold up something in front of you, and I will see if you can get this one right. Let's see that if you can ink out what is in my hand.
A pen.
Behold! Cut out the music. We haven't the time. And now, finally, Paul, to finish this evening's entertainment, I will merely touch an object, and you will tell me what object I am touching.
A bell.
Behold!
The great Mountebank, or our friend, comedian Bill Cott.
Ladies and gentlemen, Carly Ritter.
Circus was no place for girls like me. I wasn't raised to be loose and fancy free. But when the show came to my town, I looked up as he looked down, and we both fell, though he fell harder. Me and the tightrope walker. Can't pretend my mom and pa were too excited about the tattooed fish that swam when he flexed his biceps. But as far as I could see, he was the perfect guy for me. And so it hurt when they lost their daughter to the tightrope walker. But I'd never seen such pretty things. The further I climbed, the better it all seemed. Oh, the problems I'd known back home down below, well, they don't reach us on the wire, so we keep on going higher. Soon enough I was a part of the act. I'd breathe fire and then get cut in half, and the people went crazy after we swung from the trapeze, and the lions danced while bears played soccer with me and the tightrope walker. One day we had a show in Baton Rouge. A clown puked and the crowd started to boo. So in full dramatic flair, we cannonballed naked through the air. That shut them up. Those old back talkers cheered for me and the tightrope walker. And I'd never known I could feel less alone. The further I climbed, the more it felt like home. Brought me down, are stuck on the ground, and they can't reach us on the wire, so we keep on going high. president could be neat. A bearded lady would be great. And he'd cry as I'd rock her. The joy of the tightrope walker. And I'd never be so dang happy if I hadn't run and joined other freaks. So life ain't so long. Why not have some fun? Tap dance across the wire. Reach for something higher. And love the tightrope walkers.
Thank you.
Carly Ritter, how about that? Beautiful song. Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR, and available on PRX. You can find
Wendell.
Information about the program on our website, American Parlor.
Wendell!
Hark, I hear a terrible cry.
Oh, I have the voice of an angel.
Slammed in the pearly gates.
That's nonsense. I can fit through anything. I'm so svelte, I'm practically two-dimensional.
So, my paper angel, what is it that I can help you with?
I forget.
That was fast.
It's how I roll, Wendell. Fast and loose. If you can't keep up, get out of the way.
Well, you know, Martha, you have to slow down, dear. You can't keep partying like you used to.
Party, that's it. What happened at the party?
The correct question might be, what didn't happen at the party?
Well, if I was there, I can guarantee you it was not boring.
Well, you were half there.
I'm always all in.
Sure, all in the punch bowl, all in the house plant, and for the finale, all in the fountain in the front yard.
That's hilarious.
You shouldn't be mixing alcohol with your pills, Martha.
Well, then why did I get my pharmaceutical license?
The real University of Ecuador is not a real university.
How dare you insult my alma mater?
Oh, alma mater, please. Martha, you spent 2 drunken weeks at a resort and then returned with that certificate.
Oh, the college days.
You were 87.
No, I got an 87. A B+ for my thesis, combining alcohol and sedatives for more effective jollies.
Not an A?
There were deductions for tardiness.
You were late as usual.
No, the instructor was.
Well, that's sound logic.
My promptness harshed his mellow.
Oh, the esteemed Dr. Davy Gravy.
He's even groovier than his brother.
I'm not sure all of that hippie alchemy isn't partly responsible for the current state of your mind.
I'm as sharp as a tick.
That's tack.
Tick, tack, what's the difference?
A few loose marbles.
My marbles are right where they're supposed to be.
Actually, your marbles were on display at the party tonight.
Oh, a burlesque. What number did I do?
You stole the microphone right in the middle of the host's speech and then burst into a rousing rendition of If My Friends Could See Me Now.
Perfect.
It was a fundraiser for blind children.
Well, if anyone can raise fun, it's me.
Fun, duh.
I know, duh.
Well, the fun, duh, continued with you unconscious in the rubber tree plant.
I was just taking a breather.
Sure, you carried on a complete conversation with it.
Mr. Green? Nonsense, he's not a plant, he's an architect.
I guess that explains the argument about Buckminster Fuller.
Geodesic domes, give me a break.
It was a plant.
You are crazy.
Oh, sure. I'm the crazy one.
Well, that's very brave of you to admit.
At last, you sprang from that planter, shouted, "See you later, losers," dove out the side window, and headed straight into the fountain.
Like Esther Williams.
I found you out there, all alone, flopping around like a fish. You could have drowned.
Oh, don't be so melodramatic, Wendell. I'm invincible.
No, Martha, that's just it. You aren't anymore.
I'm as fit as a fiddle.
But, dear, the doctor, remember?
No.
He told you you can't drink like that anymore.
Wendell, doctors have been telling me not to drink since the bloody 60s.
It's different now, with your condition.
I'm in mint condition.
Martha, come sit down here.
All right, but don't scold me.
No, dear, I want to protect you.
From what?
Well, yourself.
But I'm a danger, Wendell. It's what I do.
Martha, you have to settle down now. You see, your mind, it isn't what it used to be.
Oh, maybe I forget a little here and there, but it's no big deal. I've been blacking out every weekend for 70 years.
Yes, but it's different now.
You're much older, and, well, when you drink like that, it makes things worse.
But then how will I have any fun?
Maybe just look at it this way. It'll take less to get you going.
Well, I've never been any good at moderation.
That's my job. I keep an eye on you.
I always saw myself going out with a big bang. Now I'm just going to fade away?
Not just yet, dear. Well, you've still got plenty of good years left. So I'm sure you can still make a little noise yet.
Well, maybe it'll be fun in the end. It'll be my own little world.
Martha Land, with chorus boys and cocktail parties.
And burlesque numbers.
And chandeliers to swing from.
And you there to take care of me.
Of course, dear. I'll be with you all the way.
In my little world.
I always was, Martha. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
Me neither.
All right, then. Let's close those eyes of yours and visit Dreamland, shall we?
Oh, the room is still a little spinny, dear. Won't you sing me my song and slow it down?
Of course, dear. Just relax.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We burn the candle end to end. Remember what I've said. Time and time again, every evening ends. But you don't need to fret. I hold you through the night. Sleep tight, my love. Good night. Good night.